All right, as I turn to Ezra chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 1. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meraioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Pinikas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief. In verses 1 through 5, they're showing us where Ezra comes from, his credentials. He comes from the line of Moses and his brother. Verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe. He was skilled. He has set his heart, his mind, to know the law of Moses. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. We can think of a law of Moses, and the most common that we hear of is the Ten Commandments. There's also over 600 commandments throughout the first five books of the Bible that Moses written. Continuing in verse 6, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now we'll notice throughout the book of Ezra how God has used not only King Artaxerxes here in the seventh chapter to beautify the temple, but in chapter 1, it was King Cyrus who gave the people money, gold, silver, rams, bullocks, to start building the second temple. Remember, Ezra takes place after the Babylonian captivity, after King Solomon's first temple was destroyed. So in chapter 1, we know that they are sending the people from Babylonium to Jerusalem to start building the temple. In chapter 3, the foundation was finished, and after 2 years of working, the people started bickering. They started comparing that temple to King Solomon's beautiful temple. But in chapter 5, the building resumes, and chapter 6 is completed, and they have a Passover celebration. They start serving the law of the Lord again. You remember, between chapter 6 and where we're at in chapter 7, over a half a century has passed from chapter 6 and 7, around 58 years. And we'll notice, as we read in verse 6, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. When we are doing diligently God's will, when we are prepared to do God's will, his hand will be upon us. We will feel him helping us. Verse 7, and there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. So they're given a specific time. We can go back in history and pinpoint when this was happening, the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Verse 8, and he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. Verse 9, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the third day of the fifth month came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. The exact time this is taking place, they left Babylon, arrived at Jerusalem. They knew how long it took, just a few months to get there. And yes, the good hand of the God was still upon him. And verse 10 states, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And that's where we're going to camp out a little bit. In verse 10, Ezra had prepared, and prepared means to set, to be firmly established. So I titled this lesson tonight, Setting of a Servant's Heart. We need God's mighty hand in our life. We all will face some sort of captivity, a struggle, a sorrow, a season. But by preparing our hearts, setting our mind to diligently seek do, and teach, can we grow our relationship with God to notice and feel His mighty works and hands in our life? Ezra said, he prepared his heart to seek, to do, and to teach the law of the Lord. Today, we must steadily set our heart on the law of the Lord. So how did Ezra prepare? He had to come to action. He chose to prepare his heart to seek, to do, and to teach. So how do you reckon we're going to prepare our hearts? God wants a clean heart, and we need a clean heart. And when we're mentioning heart in verse 10, it's not the organ that's pumping. It's the mind. It's the soul. It's the will of us, the knowledge and thinking. When we feel that nudge pulling us to God, we cannot hesitate, and we must just go. We must prepare our hearts to be clean. We know sin entered in this world in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We know when we sin, sometimes we get a little bit of pleasure out of it. It's the flesh that's kind of egging us on to do wrong. But soon we find regret and shame after that. We must know that God is perfect, perfectly good, perfectly clean. He can only allow those with clean hearts in heaven. We know on our own we can't do it, but God provided a way. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Moses, 120 years old, says, choose life, eternal life, a relationship with God, a choice to put your faith in Jesus Christ, to ask for forgiveness. God provided His only begotten Son to cleanse us from sins by dying on the cross. His precious blood washes us clean. He made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that we may be made in the righteousness of God. Clean, 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 to enter God's heavenly home. And yes, He rose again, and I know He is preparing a place for me in heaven and you. Have we chose to accept His free gift of salvation, to start a relationship with Him, to prepare our hearts to serve Him? God wants all clean hearts, asking for forgiveness, putting your faith in Him, giving your life to Him. Have a relationship. Start to prepare our hearts. There's times when we have a relationship, but the fellowship is broken with Him. When Kelly and I argue, which is very, how often do we argue, do you say? Or as Brother Butch says, intense fellowship? Not a whole lot. We know our fellowship with God can be broken, but that relationship never can be. So tonight, if our fellowship is broken, we need to surrender that to Him, surrender our life completely to Him to get our hearts prepared to serve Him. After we made a choice to prepare our hearts to serve Him, we need to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we may know this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, the kingdom of God, His righteousness, once we start to seek Him first, to make a choice, first thing, decide to seek Him. In the morning, decide to seek Him. It might be a tough habit to get into, but we need to diligently seek. We need to search out that. We need our minds to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me clarify that. Our hearts will be transformed that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seek after Him. Why is it so important to prepare our hearts to seek God, to seek His righteousness, to seek His word, to seek His law? Because in the book of Proverbs, and let's turn to Proverbs. I think we need to do a little reading. Proverbs chapter 4. I think we'll just read three verses there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And we're going to see why it is very important what we do with our heart. The issues of life come from our heart. Anyone else started going to Proverbs and turn their Bible the wrong way, or was it just me? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are we guarding our hearts? Keep guard of your hearts. What are we putting first? Are we putting family first? Our pets first? Our bank accounts? Our hobbies? We read to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to guard our hearts against anything that might take it away from God, which should be first in our lives. Matthew says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart will control us. That was Jesus that said it in the book of Matthew. I apologize. So what we're focusing on, what we're seeking after, if it's not the kingdom of God, if it's not His righteousness, it's going to control us. It's going to take us our eyes off of Him, off the law of God. Seek God, the Bible. Fall in love with His word. Search it out. It will change your life. Third choice we have to do in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10. We're going to have to do it. It'll be hard to do it if we're not seeking out His law. Set your heart to obey Him. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers, and only deceiving your own selves. Why must we be doers of the word? If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Follow Him. Be doers. When you feel God guiding you, let Him. I thank Brother Henry for being the demonstration on Sunday for the yoke. Let Him guide you. Just do it. Obey Him. Take His yoke upon you. Learn of Him. Do the law of God. Follow what the Bible's teaching us to really seek after the great commandment. Just love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Then we should also love thy neighbor as thyself. Show the world how Christians should act. Prepare our hearts to obey, to do the law of God. Have we made a choice to prepare our hearts, to seek God, to do His will? The book of Ezra says we better start teaching. Ezra was teaching in Israel statutes and judgments. What are we teaching? We read the Great Commandment. Let's read the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verse 20. I'll turn my Bible the right way and I will read that to you. I'll read 19 also. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now there's a promise I'd like to take with me. If we are teaching, if we are seeking, if we are doing what we can, we know God will always be with us. The Bible tells us over and over, He will not leave us, He will not forsake us. God is showing us great and mighty things, and we need to share and teach what he's done for us. We are a great example to what the world should be looking for. We are the Bible to those that don't read the Bible here in America. Second Chronicles says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Remember to keep in fellowship. When we teach others of God, or we see a brother or sister struggling, they're going through a tough season, and we help guide, God is with us. And all God has done for me, it's a must to help others, to share what he's doing. Those that are struggling, each one of us has something to teach. We all will teach differently. We may teach in different ways, but God still needs us to choose, to prepare, to teach his statutes, his judgments. We know one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess it's him. How awful would it be if we're sitting here on earth not doing what he's told us to do? The regret and the shame that so many Christians are going to feel, because as soon as they got saved, they got the relationship with God, they forgot all about fellowship. When we prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord, diligently seek him first. Don't put nothing else in front of God. When we renew our hearts and our minds and guard it over everything that's not righteous, and we prepare, we set our hearts to do and obey, we can take his yoke upon us. He will give us rest. And we prepare our hearts to teach, he will be with us always. As Ezra taught us today, God can do mighty works. We see it from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Revelation 22, verse 21. From letting the Babylonian captives go to Jerusalem, providing all sorts of capital for them to rebuild the temple, gold and silver, and as King Artaxerxes provided everything to beautify the temple for Ezra in chapter 7, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to get rid of all the unclean. We need to be clean in the eyes of the Lord. Make a choice. Set our hearts on God. Guard it from all unrighteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and do it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Just do it. Have a great commitment to the great commandment, the great commission. Teach in however God is nudging you. When you feel that yoke turning you one way, don't ignore it. Follow him. Follow God. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's come back to church on Sunday fired up with a new ambition to serve, to be inspired. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that we can learn from it and grow from it, that we can increase our knowledge and our wisdom. All we have to do is ask you. You are the giver. You are the comforter. And we need you in our lives. Keep us safe as we travel home. Be over the Burris family as they are traveling. Bring us back healthy on Sunday that we may enjoy fellowship and food on this fifth Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.